Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podcast 137. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just excited to talk a little Disney. We're stuck here in a rainstorm and freezing cold, freezing rain.
There you go.
I'll take a Florida thunderstorm over freezing rain any day.
Exactly. Or I'll take rain over snow in the Northeast any day as well.
It's just the freezing rain. There was like a 20-car pileup on our local expressway this morning.
Only 20?
Only 20, but, you know, that's the thing with the freezing rain. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, that's probably more dangerous than snow, actually, because people have the, they think that it's safe, and it's actually not. So probably better off having snow than freezing rain for accident's sake.
Yeah, the other thing is that you get the idiots that have the four-wheel drives that think that it's better. On ice, if you can't stop, you can't stop. I don't care if you have 30-wheel drive.
Yeah, I love seeing those guys pass me in the left-hand lane going about 80 miles an hour, and then you see them in the median strip a couple miles down the road.
Yeah,
because they flew off the highway like a hockey puck.
Exactly. It's like if you're on ice, man, I don't care what you have. Unless you have cleated tires, you're in bad shape.
Exactly.
So let's talk a little fun stuff instead of pileups and get on to some Disney news, my good friend.
Yeah, that sounds good. Talk about some warmer things down south of us in Florida. Some news items from this past week, or a couple days, I guess. We did put out a show midweek this week, but things are starting to pop down there in the world of Disney, as they say. Pirates of the Caribbean is going to be closed. They're saying this is, we'll put this in the rumor category. It's not an official release from Disney, but it's out there that Pirates is going to close sometime this summer, they're saying, till the end of 2015. So I don't know if that means May, June, July, August, until the end of the year or what. But anyways, they're saying that they're going to do some work to the show audio, some of the audio animatronics that are faulty or not working at all. We've all seen those. And they're going to do some maintenance work to the boats as well. So this is definitely an attraction and one that's beloved by many. So if you have plans to go down anytime this summer/fall and Pirates is your favorite, you may have to do without this trip.
Now, you're not telling me they're not going to take Johnny Depp out, are they?
No, actually, they're probably going to add more Johnny Depp in there.
Oh, you know, you really know how to cut like the knife, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, there's more movies coming, I guess. They're going to film a couple more, I guess. But, we talk about this all the time. Inevitably, these major attractions have to go down at some point for, you know, maintenance and care. And it's lousy if it happens on your vacation. But nevertheless, these things don't run forever and they get so much use. It's just necessary. So plan accordingly if Pirates is your favorite.
I just don't get the whole why during summer. I mean, that ride's a people eater.
Yeah, that's going to definitely leave more bodies in the park for sure. I guess it boils down to they can't do everything in the winter. I know, you know, they tend to do Splash and most of the water-based attractions, Cali River, and, you know, obviously the water parks goes without saying. But I guess, Well, Pirates is a water attraction too, so.
Yeah, but it's inside.
Yeah.
It's warm water. Warm, stinky water.
Yeah, love that smell. Love that smell.
Pirate water, baby.
Exactly.
You know what they say.
What's that? Oh, yes.
That's why it's called pirate water.
There you go.
They're drinking too much.
Yes. Let's see here. Just a note that Disney is going to be extending park hours March, April, and May. This is just a general comment for all the theme parks, but particularly the Magic Kingdom. So if you had made plans slash ADRs based on the previous park hours, you may want to go back in and see what the updates are because they are extended in some cases on some days. So you may be able to get that fast pass you weren't able to get, and or see a parade or a show or something that now they may be showing twice instead of just once. So just something to keep in mind if you're going down this spring slash early summer.
Well, it's nice. The later the parks are open, the better for, I think some of it has to do too is they're opening them a little later to give people more of a chance because there's so many things being worked on now.
Yeah, that could be. You're right. Just, like we said with Pirates, with things being closed, it gives people the opportunity to do some other things. Yeah, it's all good. I mean, if you can do the whole day in the park, or even if you can't, you can definitely go back after dinner or something and get some attractions in. So that's all good.
Yeah, when later they open, the less crowds that
Yeah.
you see. Every hour goes by. It's nice how see how people are leaving.
Yeah, I mean it's just like in real life, I guess. You get your early birds and then you got your late risers, and it kind of all works out that everyone's not there at the same time. I mean, I know people that do it, but it's I'm going to say fairly rare that somebody would be up at rope drop, an hour before park opening and close the park all in one day. But not that it hasn't been done. I mean, I've done it a couple of times, but it's not something we do regularly anymore.
Now, we've always done the midday break. We'll go to the parks early, stay there till around noon, have a nice lunch somewhere, and we go back to the hotel for a couple hours. Change, freshen up, and then that's when we usually head to a different park. We barely ever stay in the same park all day.
Yeah, that's a long day, and not that you've done everything, but even if you haven't, it's good to get a change of venue. And if you have park hoppers or an annual pass, whatever, I mean, that's the time to take advantage of something like that. But it's a long day. I mean, some days when they have extra magic hours in the morning, some of the parks can open up at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., and like they're saying here, they could be open till midnight, 1 o'clock, or better in some cases. So that's definitely a long day.
Yeah, my thing is, and people know who listen to our show, it's every park, other park during the day, and it seems like we're at Epcot every night.
Yeah.
That's how it
Nothing wrong
ends
with
up for
that.
us. That's how it usually ends for us. Magic Kingdom morning, Epcot night. Animal Kingdom morning, Epcot night. Studios morning, Epcot night.
Yeah,
That's how usually the trip goes.
Epcot's awesome at night. You catch illuminations, and that's a good way to cap off your day. No doubt about that. Let's see what else we have here. Just continuing news. I got here the hat cometh down. I'm sure you've seen pictures on Twitter and other social media sites that the top of the hat or the tip of the hat sections have already been dismantled and removed, and that process continues. So I would think by the end of this coming week, probably pretty close to being down, I would think.
And then there's rumors that there's a new stage going up there for entertainment. I hope they give it a little while before they do that, but what the rumors are, they might be putting a permanent stage there for all the shows and I guess the Frozen stuff. It seems like Frozen shows all the time, but
Right.
that's what it sounds like they're going to be doing for Star Wars weekend. They need a stage there, don't they? You know what I mean, Dan?
Yeah,
So I
makes
think they're
sense.
tired of putting it up, taking it down, putting it up, taking it down. I'm thinking they're going to just build something permanent there.
Yeah, I mean, with all the Frozen stuff, like you said, and they do a lot of special events there, and I know they have the Star Wars stuff they'll be doing soon, and they also have the what's that, Villains Mix and Mingle, or whatever they call it, they've been doing the last couple of years. So, yeah, there's a need for a stage there, and centrally located, hub, if you will. So that makes all the sense in the world.
And
I
they're
have.
also doing the new, like this week, they had the Cinderella preview there, the new movie.
Oh yeah, right. They showed it up on the screen on the stage.
Yeah, so I'm just saying they had meet they had all kind of festivities going on for that new son Cinderella, and they played the movie. So I mean, they need something there to be permanent. I just hope that it's done where you can still see the theater. I hope my next trip I get to see the theater before they put something else back in front of that.
Yeah, I mean, even if they put a stage, I mean, obviously, I forget what the height of the hat was, I should say, but even if they put a modest stage, you'll still see, three quarters of the
Chinese.
Chinese theater. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. But yeah, it'll definitely take away from the sight line. I know what you mean, Doug.
I just
Be
want to
not,
clean there for a while.
yeah.
I want to walk over that ground again, not around the hat to go into.
Right.
I mean, it's seen for the longest time. I like the hat because now I'm used to it. I'm happy both, either way.
Right.
And I hope they were putting in a parking lot, but now it sounds like it's going to become pins for everybody. But didn't you feel like with the hat there to get on the movie ride, you were like being shoehorned into it for some reason? Even though there was plenty of room there, you still feel like you were shoehorned into the movie ride all the time.
Right. It felt cluttered or claustrophobic. I mean,
Yeah.
and you're right. There was you could walk right around the whole thing. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But, obviously it was never meant to be there, and it was supposed to be, that open courtyard design. So
It took
I,
away the hub feel.
yeah, I totally agree with you there. And I think it would be nice, like you're saying, to come through the turnstiles and just get past that little store that's right there in the center of the street and be able to look right up there and, see the Chinese theater. You're right, that would be nice to see it clean if they are indeed putting a permanent stage up there, but we'll see what develops
Yeah,
with
because I
that.
remember when we first started going there, they'd always have meet and greets there. Like the army men would come out in the trucks, and the guys would get out and do a show. You remember that?
Oh yeah, that's absolutely.
I remember all that stuff, and it was nice to just have that big, huge area, kind of like the hub was at the Magic Kingdom, where you could stretch out a little bit if it was crowded there. You could always go to the center area there and feel like you had more room than you needed.
Absolutely. A little elbow room there.
Yeah, there was no place. That whole park now, with that being there, seemed claustrophobic.
Right. Well, like we said, we will see. And I had heard that too about the stage. And yeah, you got to figure, all the times they set that up and take it down. I mean, it's got to cost a pretty penny to do that. So if they could build something permanently, and again, keeping in mind this all has to jibe with the changes that are coming, and maybe even if it is a quote unquote permanent stage, it could be temporary in nature, in that, whatever enhancements or changes are coming with all these rumored Star Wars lands and Star Wars Land rather, and Pixar Place and all that. It may not affect the hub. I have no idea, but we just don't know at this point.
Well, just give me my space back and let me see my theater and stop it.
There you go. Let's see here. In the same area there, in order to still sell the pins and souvenirs, they built they call it the Sunset Ranch Pins and Souvenirs kiosk, I guess I'd call it. And that's on the Sunset Boulevard there, going down towards the Tower of Terror. And that's to basically sell the same items that they used to sell underneath the Sorcerer's Hat.
It's right by Sunshine Seasons, isn't it?
That's at Epcot.
No, I mean, what's that one? There's one on the boulevard there. I forget the name of it. There's an eatery right there on the way down on the left-hand side where you can grab food and.
Yeah, I think it's on the right side, Doug, but you could be right too. I'm not exactly sure, but it's
Yeah,
to the.
there's an area on the left side where you can get coffee and all kind of other stuff.
Oh,
You just stand
yeah.
there.
Yep, I
And
know
I
what you're
think the
saying to
pin
me.
place is going right there.
Yeah, it's either on that side or the other side. I'm not sure, but that's open now. I saw pictures of it. It looks pretty good. They threw it up fairly quickly. And again, for those that collect pins and stuff like that, that's your place to get that stuff now. So you're not shut out. Got to spend the money on the souvenirs.
Just give me a hat and I'm home.
There you go. Let's see. Moving right along here. Avatar sequel has been delayed until late 2017. James Cameron and some of the Disney execs, I guess, were talking about this, and I bring it up only in that it kind of throws a monkey wrench into, I think, what Disney and Cameron were planning for the launch of Avatar Land. It looks like that the release of the sequel in the opening of the land, I guess, Pandora, or at least some of the attractions, will not line up now with this delay. Didn't say what the delay was, other than they're filming multiple movies at the same time. Maybe it's just a time thing, I'm not sure, but
And I know
again.
nothing, but usually when something happens like this, and I'm no movie buff, and I'm not Oscar Doug or anything like that, but I wouldn't be surprised if one of the actors or something happened to somebody where they can't film their scenes until they heal or something. Could be something like that, because I've heard of actors like hurt breaking their leg or getting hurt, and there's no double for if they're really hurt, if you follow me. So hopefully something didn't happen to somebody.
Yeah, that's happened. You're absolutely right. Someone get in a car accident. It could be anything.
No, who knows? I'm not trying to wish bad luck, but I hope nothing happened to somebody that's going to hold it up.
Right. Well, I'm sure we'll hear more as we go along. But coupled with that, I mean, again, pictures continue to circulate through social media. Those drone pictures, if you will, that they took of the overhead of Avatar Land. And actually, one of the buildings, it looks like it's 3 or 4 stories high now. They got the structural steel up, and things are moving right along there. So that's getting exciting over there. It's we're finally starting to see some significant above ground construction. And now that all the infrastructure is in, we're going to start to see huge chunks of the buildings and such start to come above ground and be visible.
Yeah, this stage goes fast, and then all the finish work slows it down again. Yeah, the buildings will go up real quick. It's like you guys know, you'll see it in your local town. You'll see the concrete go up, the entire building's built, and the facade's on, and then you're like, well, why ain't it open yet? Because all the hard stuff begins, all the inside, all the interior work is the hard work.
Yeah, and all the changes and all, we didn't want that, or last minute changes, like you were saying a couple shows ago, and it'll look like it's just sitting there with nothing going on, but meanwhile there's they're changing the lights out because they didn't quite work out the way they thought, or who knows what could happen. But in any event,
I'm
it's nice to
excited.
it's nice to see the construction going fast and furious over there.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to open.
Yeah, me too. Let's see here. Earlier in the week, Disney filed paperwork for a new meet and greet in the Norway Pavilion over at Epcot. This is going to be a 13,000 square foot building that will include new restrooms and a meet and greet for Anna and Elsa and some of the other Frozen characters. And if you can visualize this will be on the land that currently resides beside Norway. I guess that would be to the south, I guess. South. Yeah, south.
If
And
you're
Mexico. There's a little road that goes backstage there currently, and just past that is the little margarita, the frozen margarita bar. I don't know if this will affect that, but
I hope not. They better keep it.
well,
I
if
love
they
it, my wife don't.
right. If they don't, if it does affect it, I'm sure it'll show up somewhere else in that area. But not having seen the footprint, I don't know if it's going to be set back from the World Showcase itself from the road. But a pretty significant piece of construction that's going to happen in concert with the Frozen attraction that they're building inside of the old Maelstrom building.
I wouldn't even be surprised if they have the new ride also load on that side. Because we've talked before, that area there, I was afraid if they kept the same thing and it became a frozen ride, Maelstrom gets crowded. But Maelstrom never got as crowded as like Soarin' or Test Track, or you never seen lines outside of you.
No, maybe special events, or if it was a holiday or something like that. But generally speaking, the line started inside the building, I would say.
Absolutely. Well, I couldn't you totally see if that became a frozen ride, the line all the way out the building and down? And there's not much room in that area there, that corridor there that leads you into Maelstrom between the Kringle Bakery and restaurant there, they don't want people hanging outside all the time. It's bad enough as it is, let alone if it was a frozen ride there.
Yeah, it's kind of a choke point there. I agree with you between the restaurant there, Akershi's, or however you say that, and the Kringle Bakery, like you said. Yeah, so this ride is going to be hugely popular. Any new attraction in Walt Disney World draws huge crowds, and couple that with the fact that it's a Frozen ride, which is extremely popular right now. There'll be, hundreds of thousands of people, trying to get in there all at the same time. So, you may be right. Maybe they'll grab some of the new building for a queue line. Who knows? Maybe they dig a tunnel or put a bridge in. Who knows what they could do to annex, if you will, the new building to the old. Well, it'll be
Well,
interesting to see.
I honestly believe, and this could be crazy, but know how you exit and you go right into the store?
Yes.
I wouldn't even be surprised if that store isn't partially eliminated, or the movie part, because you could run that straight through to the other side where they're going to do the new building. You follow me?
Yeah, maybe they just change the flow, if you will, and still utilize the existing buildings to get to the new building. Yeah, that might work.
Yeah, because now how you come out, you go to the right and they make you go through the store. They could just put a block the store off, because I don't think this new ride is going to enter in. Who knows if it's going to enter in the store? Don't know if there's going to be a movie. So they could just run that hallway all the way out, and there's probably doors on the other side of that that would lead to the new building, and they could flow traffic through there. Because I know with the Princess meeting, with Anna and Elsa meeting, the whole nine yards, I wouldn't even be surprised if this new ride opens the same time as Frozen 2 is released, which will start a whole new craziness over there. They're probably trying to figure out how to handle all the traffic that's going to be there. Because right now, if you put all the guests that tried to get on Test Track or tried to get on Soarin' in that area, you couldn't handle it.
No, and you're right. It would sort of be like it was when Anna and Elsa were doing meet and greets there just outside the restaurant.
It
I
was
mean, the
chaos.
lines, oh, it was crazy. It was all the way down to China. It was, yeah, I couldn't even believe it. I was there for Flower and Garden, and I was at one of the tables across the way, and the lines were, they were over 3 hours. I mean, it was crazy.
That's what
So
I'm
if that.
saying. They have to figure out how to manage that. They don't want it to be out in the world showcase, because it's not fair to everybody else that could care less about Anna and Elsa.
Right, which isn't too many people,
No,
but
I like them too, but I'm not going to go for a meet and greet. Unless they're they want a picture with me, then I'll do it. But
No, I hear you.
they're going to be
Right.
two pretty girls, but I ain't really interested. I'm an old fart.
Right. Yeah, and plus there's a line sometimes at the restaurant there, people waiting for their ADRs and stuff. And I've seen a line going in the Kringle Bakery too. I mean, that backs up at times. So people do spill out into that, central courtyard, if you will, trying to access the stores and stuff and restaurants that are currently there. So you're right, they're going to have to figure out a way to do crowd control for sure.
Yeah, because it isn't going to be fair to China, and it won't be fair to Mexico. I'm
Right.
sure those two countries want their pavilions clear.
Right.
I know I would. If I'm paying for that pavilion, I ain't going to want a line in front of my restaurant and to the Lotus Garden and all there if they're
Right.
not coming in to see me. If I don't want it to be to the point where people don't want to cross the line to go into China.
Yeah, no doubt. They'll figure it out. They're good at crowds and stuff, but
But that's why I'm thinking they're building that, and I think you're going to see a different entrance area there.
probably. I mean, maybe they can run people around the backside. I mean, the whole backside there is all, cat right now it's cast parking and stuff like that, but they could grab a section of that maybe and
Or that
put
whole
some.
area behind, know where you go to eat the Kringle Bakery?
Yep.
That's where it's going to be built back there. There's all kind of room that goes between there and Mexico.
Oh yeah. So
So that's where it'll be, and I'm hoping, because I don't want to see them crowds for Anna and Elsa out over all the way down by the tequila or the new Hacienda restaurant.
yeah, I mean, and that's a choke point itself. You that little bridge there when you get to that restaurant. So you're right, it's tight in that whole area. So it'll be interesting. But we'll see. I'm sure construction will start fast and furious on that as well. They want to get that up, and
We need to
so I
get down
think,
there, Dennis. There's all kind of construction we could be
oh,
working on.
it's crazy. As bad as it was, or as much as it was, I should say, last time I was there. I think there's even more going on now, if you can believe it. So it's
File your
crazy.
File your papers with Disney for a construction manager.
Yeah, I've done that already.
Try it again. Try it again, buddy.
Let's see here. Last item I have, and then we'll leave it to you, Doug, if you have something. If not, we'll get into our show. But
thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. Interactive queue over at Peter Pan's Flight. They just opened or will be opening soon. Maybe it's in soft open. I'm not sure. But they enhanced the queue to get you out of the weather, I guess. And as a result of this, you'll be able to see Tink fly around and interact with Wendy, John, and Michael's toys. I viewed this on YouTube. Obviously, I haven't seen it, haven't been down there yet. It's brand new, but there's pictures on the walls of the characters and different, you know, Big Ben, and there's a picture of Nana on the wall, the dog, and they also have Nana's doghouse and dog bowl out there that you can look at, as well as, you know, the bedrooms themselves with all the toys and stuff that you will. It will be familiar to you from the movie Peter Pan. So this is a nice enhancement, I think, to a beloved attraction that, you know, many of us have been on many, many times. And as we know, is a slow loading ride and tends to get massive lines for it. So this enhanced queue or interactive queue is a welcome addition, I think.
Absolutely. It's a long awaited addition. I don't know what took them so long.
Right.
I mean, really, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, the next one that they need to do something with and close it in would be It's a Small World. I mean, I don't know why you have people. I mean, especially with Peter Pan. I mean, all these years, you'd be standing outside half the time you're waiting in line.
Yeah, I mean, at least with It's a Small World, the boat, the way you load onto the boats is set back from the road, if you will. Not that it's a road, but pathway, whatever you
want
to call it.
In a walking way.
Yeah, so you know, for a couple of turns of the queue, you're at least inside out of the weather. But if you think about it, I mean, Peter Pan, those ships almost load right on the, you know, right out near the street, if you will. So there really wasn't a lot of room for, you know, many switchback lines. There was a couple, but it's a lot closer to the road than It's a Small World. So I can't visualize how they did this, whether they built out into the pathway to, you know, accommodate this new queue, or I'm not really clear. I couldn't tell from the video how it was constructed, but it looks pretty significant as far as a footprint, don't you think?
Yeah, I think they closed the front of the facade in a lot and let them run forward and backward and, you know, close in a lot of the areas they had. But I can't wait. I mean, it looked great on the video. I seen the same video as you, but Peter Pan and It's a Small World are the two most annoying lines, and Maelstrom was bad too. I hate when you're back-to-back, face-to-face constantly, kind of like also on the Great Movie Ride when it's real crowded.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I get the heebie-jeebies after a while, constantly going back and forth, back and forth. You know what
then
I mean?
You got to keep eyeballing the same people, and especially if there's somebody that's a little aggravating or being a little...
Yeah, you get the kids that are screaming and yelling that you constantly get, or, you know... It's just, you know, it's just you feel funny just staring at the same people constantly the whole time you're in line.
Right, right.
It's like awkward, that's all.
Yeah, it can be, unless you strike up a conversation and you end
up... get some really nice people that we've met over the past years. I'm not saying that, but, you know, every once in a while you get that one where, oh, my God, I'm back facing them again.
Right.
Make it stop. Hurry up. Load.
And that's where you hear some of the best stories, where you got to roll your eyes, or if you can't help yourself, you interject, you know, like, you know, you hear somebody say, oh, we're going to see, you know, we're going on Jaws next, or, you know, I know I'm dating myself, but, you know, you hear all the crazy people that have no idea what they're talking about, trying to educate people or family members or
people
you
wanna
they're
butt
traveling
in.
With.
You want to butt in and say, no, Soren's not in the Magic Kingdom, honey.
Right, right.
But, and you're not being smart. But and then on the other hand, you also are, you're hearing the guy talk to his wife about the bill they got at home. And
Right.
You realize where you are.
Yeah. Too much information, as they say.
Just stop.
Yeah, you know, you hear, you know, inevitably somebody drop a, you know, we're at Disneyland or, you know, something like that. That drives me crazy, but that's just me.
I know, because we're two miserable old farts.
So anyways, that's all I had for news. Did you have anything else, Doug?
I have a little something here. The Garden Rocks concert returns at Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, or you like to call it Food and Garden.
That's Buddy Bob's moniker he gave that festival.
Okay, way to get, well, you're right, Bob. It's going to be food, flower, and garden pretty soon.
There you go.
But it starts May 4th or March 4th through May 17th. And is there, I'll read the groups off and you can tell me anybody you're interested in. What dates are
Okay.
you going to be down again, Dan? I'll tell you who's there.
10th through the 18th March.
Okay, so you're going to be there when Pablo Cruz, Love Will Find a Way, will be there.
Never heard of them. Don't think I'll stop and see them or them.
Okay, well, they'll be there. So anyway, March 6th through the 8th is the Gin Blossoms.
Okay.
Their big song was Hey Jealousy. March 13th through the 15th, again, is Pablo Cruz. Well, Love Will Find a Way. I remember that song. And then March 20th through 22nd is In Vogue. You ever heard of In Vogue?
I've heard the name. I couldn't tell you what song they do or songs they've done.
Yeah, Free Your Mind is theirs.
Okay.
March 27th through 29th is Starship. I know you heard of Starship.
Yeah, I mean, I've commented on them before. We actually ran into them at Disney Springs. Yeah, Disney Springs. I'll be all right. Saratoga Springs one year.
That's
They were
okay.
actually staying there. And yeah, that's the old Jefferson Airplane or a spin-off of the
Yeah.
Jefferson Airplane back.
Jefferson Starship. Now they're
Yeah,
Starship. Yep.
right.
And their song is We Built This City, remember, on rock
Yeah.
and roll.
Yeah, they had a couple hits in the late 80s and even after Grace Slick and them left the band. So I like them actually.
Yep, and this will date me, April 3rd through the 5th. I wish I was there to see these guys. You remember, it's called the Orchestra, but they were, remember ELO, Electric Light Orchestra?
Oh yeah, I remember that as a kid. They again, they had a lot of hits and they used to use an organ or an electric organ or something
They
in
used to
their
have a
music.
whole, yeah, but they had a whole big orchestra. Like, they had a whole massive band
Right.
going on. And their song here, it says Evil Woman, but the one I remember is Turn the Stone. When you were
Oh yeah.
that and telephone the operator,
Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah,
I forgot all about that phone. That song rather.
remember to start off,
Yep.
hello, how are you? I'll sing it rest of the way if
Yeah.
get on the after notes, guys.
So I take it this is probably not quote unquote ELO. This is probably just one of the band members or maybe a couple that
It
are
says,
struck out on their own.
yeah, it says former members of ELO, but I would like to see them. Your group, then, the Village People, April 10th through the 12th.
Yay.
YMCA, brother. April 17th through the 19th is John Cicada, with Just Another Day. April 24th through 26th is The Guess Who, with These Eyes. Remember that song?
Oh, I do.
Yep.
Yeah, I would go see them if they were there.
Yeah, These Eyes. I know I have a great voice, guys. Write in. You can email me and tell me how good. March, May 1st through the 3rd is Taylor Dayne, Tell It to My Heart. May 8th through the 10th is the Little River Band. I remember them, Lady.
Yeah, I do.
And then the cap off the entire week is none other than Herman Hermits. Herman Hermits.
He's
May
there every
14th,
year.
yeah, May 15th through the 17th.
That's Peter Noon, right?
Yep.
Yep.
So, but it's nice that they have this concert series. Don't cost
Yeah,
you anything else.
exactly. And I got to admit, as hard as I am on some of these bands that seem, like they're pretty trivial or whatever. I mean, it's not a destination per se, but it is nice if you're strolling around World Showcase and you happen to come upon them playing or catch a set or whatever, or even a couple of songs. If you may grab a drink or a beer or wine or something, and even if you don't want to sit down, you can always stand like behind the seating, and it's nice to see live music in Epcot. I think it adds to the atmosphere, and I think it's great that they bring these bands in and employ these folks that are maybe a little long in the tooth as far as their musical careers, and most times there's a familiar song or two that you would recognize even if you don't recognize the name of the band or what have you. So I think it's all good.
Absolutely. I mean, I enjoy it. I mean, and like I said, it costs the same as it did with your regular ticket. So you get to enjoy. And me, I'll be honest with you, if I could get down in April or May, if something happens this spring where we get to go, I might try to go to Week Electric Orchestra, Electric Light Orchestra's there because I enjoy their music.
Right, see, so by having them there, and I don't believe they were, I don't know if it says if they're new this year, but I don't think they've performed there before, but I could be wrong.
No, I grew up liking that group, and I wouldn't mind hearing how they sound now. I mean, I'm not saying I'd plan the trip around it, but if it was
Right.
between a couple different weeks, I might decide to go that week just to hear them play instead of somebody else.
Absolutely. And like I said, it adds to the festive mood of Epcot. And they have that new band in in the United Kingdom there. I forget the name of it. We mentioned it a few shows ago. Plus they have the band that
Yeah,
plays back
the
there.
one that re the British Invasion.
Exactly. So
Yeah.
I mean, there is opportunity for live music, if you will, in Epcot. And like I said, that's all good.
Yeah, you never know when live music's going to pop up, and that's one of the great things about Epcot.
Absolutely, between the music, and then you got the performers and the chair guy over there in France, and some of the new offerings they have over in Canada with the
Your favorite lumberjacks?
with the lumber. Oh, speaking of that, I'm glad we stumbled upon this. I don't know if you saw the pictures, but they've added a water feature in front of the stage. Did
Oh,
you
no,
see
they
that?
didn't. No, they
Oh
didn't.
yes, they did. It looks like they're going to do log rolling and stuff because they added an above ground,
Oh,
water feature.
they're trying their damnedest to keep this rolling, ain't
Right.
they?
No pun intended. Yeah, but
Yeah.
it's pretty big too. I was surprised when I saw the pictures, but I don't know if it's part of the show yet. But if it's not, I would think it will be very soon. They're going to expand their show, obviously, to include some sort of log rolling or something to that effect. So that'll be interesting to see if that spices up the show and gets more people to like that particular show.
Oh, I would definitely stop to see somebody rolling a log in the water. I don't care where I am. I could be walking down the street or driving my car, and if I see somebody rolling a log on the local lake, I'm going to pull over and say, "What are you doing?"
Right,
But I don't
right.
know if I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. Again, the pictures were, there was just a few that I saw, but obviously they'd have to keep it so they stay centered in the water. I mean, it would be dangerous to, if they should fall near the edge or whatever, because it's like, I don't know, it looked to me like it was maybe, I don't know, 36, 48 inches top from the from grade to the top of the, I don't want to call it a pool, but the edge, and it looked like just a rectangle to me. So there's sharp edges there, if you will. So it'll be interesting to see how it all lays out and how they keep those performers safe as well as in the middle of the pool.
No, I hear you. I can't wait to see the big guy, the MC, get on that log.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if he's still there. I know they replace. Well, I shouldn't say they replaced him. I've seen additional videos of the show, and they had a different person there. But then again, there needs to be fill-ins and more than one person for the MC, so it could have just been his day off. So, well, and that remains to be seen.
No, I hear you. But no, I don't know. I'm anxious to see what they do with it now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it doesn't sound like they're going to let go of that anytime soon, and they're going to try to, prove to everybody or a lot of people that were disappointed and off kilter leaving that this was the right decision and this can be a good show, and they're going to give it their all to do that. So we shall see.
Yeah, they're going to do everything in their powers to try to make that work, and I don't think it's going to, but
Well, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt and see where we are in 6 months or whatever.
well, you remember me. I was on the side of let's see something new, but I've seen it. Been there, done that. I don't even want the t-shirt from that lock
Right,
from
right.
the Lumberjacks.
Right, like I said a couple shows ago, though, it is interesting that that whole topic is just kind of wound its way down, and you don't hear anything about it. I mean, I guess they're performing every day and business as usual, and nobody's really saying too much about it, good, bad, or indifferent. So maybe people have just accepted it and they're moving on.
Yeah, well, we all cry. Everybody quiets down after a while.
Yeah,
You
true,
know, and
true.
everybody calm. If they say they're playing there again, it'll all uprise again, if you follow me.
Yeah, it'll be, the reunion or whatever. So it'd be a big spectacle if and when that ever happens. And who knows?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, anyway, we're gonna get into the sights around the parks that make us feel at home at Disney World. The things that aren't necessarily attractions, but we have to look at every time. Every time we're there, we have to go to that area of the park and check it out, and it reminds us of each and every trip. So, and I'll get us started then, just
Okay.
to kick the ball off. The biggest one, and we actually just put pictures of it on our website a couple weeks ago, is the little cottage that sits out in the gardens in Canada. It isn't an attraction. It isn't anything special that you can go touch, walk in, do anything to it, but it reminds me of every single trip that we've been down there. It's something special to me. I always walk, even if we're not even having dinner at Le Cellier or lunch, I still walk halfway down the path, have to go over. I have to take a picture of it. It's something that we've basically take a picture of every single time we go there. What about you?
Oh yeah, same thing. To your point, even if we're not eating at Le Cellier, we'll usually at least swing in that one roadway, behind the beer cart there. Like if you were going to eat at Le Cellier, and depending on what time of year it is, the gardens tend to change and whatever flowers are in bloom. So, even if you were there earlier in the year or at a different time last year, chances are it's gonna, not the cottage itself, but the meadow and the flower beds and grasses and different things will probably look a little different. So, even if you have multiple pictures, but yeah, that's a familiar place, and it is cool to see that little cottage there. And like I said before, they use the forced perspective so that it looks, it lo looks farther away than it is actually. And if you think about it, it's probably right up on the backside of Journey into Imagination, kind of, I guess, in that area, if you think about it. So, it's nice where they have the vegetation in the back and makes that screen, so a natural screen, I should say, so that you don't see any of the buildings behind it. But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's just something that always strikes up a conversation with me and my wife. We're always wondering what's inside there. We'd love to go inside there. It's just we comment on it each and every trip, and it wouldn't be a trip without paying attention to that little cottage over there.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you like to lose your mind once and just walk out there and just go, go near it or go in it, if you could get there before security tackled you?
Believe me, many times I've thought about taking the sprint for it. Just
Right.
to go peek in there. I know they probably have nothing in there. There's probably just storage for. I wouldn't be surprised if the stuff for the KidCot stuff wasn't in there.
Right. Yeah. Boxes of paper or sticks or glue or whatever. Yeah. That'd probably be it. But wouldn't it be funny if you went out there and you walked over there and you look like a giant next to it because it's actually just a small, tiny thing, but it just looks full scale.
I think it would be funnier if I looked in there and Mickey Mouse is asleep.
Yeah. Taking a nap.
Or there's Saint Nick, there you're the Canadian Santa.
Yeah. There you go.
That's his little hut. So what's your first one, Dave?
First one for me is over at the Magic Kingdom, and I don't know the name of the street. I was supposed to look it up, and I didn't. But on the right-hand side of Main Street USA, I think it's the first right. There's kind of a dead end there, and if you go down the end of that street, they do the not the caricatures, but they do the silhouette paintings, I think, right there. There's usually a man or a woman that'll paint your silhouette, and you can get them in a round frame, if you will. But anyways, if you walk a little past that, there's some round tables, wrought iron tables, I believe, white, that you can sit down at. And I generally do this once a trip because it's peaceful. If you grab a coffee or something, maybe an ice cream on a warm day, whatever. If you just go down that street and you sit there and you're off the beaten path because everybody's zipping up and down Main Street USA trying to get to their first fast pass, and they're not paying any attention at all to all these other little offerings. But anyways, if you sit there, you can and you look up above, you can see a window or a couple of windows, and I believe the window's open and you see the curtains blowing and everything. But there's something on the window written that says something about singing lessons, and if you sit there and listen long enough, you'll hear a voice instructor, and it sounds like a young girl that's taking singing lessons, and you can hear her kind of humming along. long, and it's not a constant thing. It'll pop up now and again. And again, if you pay attention and you read the sign and you listen to the ambient sound, it all kind of ties together. And it's a pretty cool little thing that, you know, you wouldn't even know it's there. It's not on any park map. It's just something somebody either has had to tell you about or you just discovered on your own. And that's a cool thing that we'd like to partake in when we go to the Magic Kingdom.
We've roamed over there many, many moons ago, and I know exactly what you're talking about. You brought back memories because me and my wife thought we were going nuts. As we were sitting back in there, we were just trying to get out of the way, you know, get a little shade, sit down. We seen the tables back there and went back and sat, and then we're looking around because we heard voices.
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. It is really neat. It's something, you know, like, again, they're all the extras that you don't know that's going on until you stumble upon them.
Yeah, and, you know, there's tons of that stuff in the parks, and I'm sure there's many, many, many other ones that I'm not even aware of because I'm guilty sometimes of doing the same thing, running to get my fast pass or whatever. But, I mean, I can vividly remember two distinct conversations I struck up with, like once my daughter and it was just my daughter, my wife, and I that were down on a trip, and they were in the Emporium shopping, whatever, they were looking for something, and I had had enough of shopping for them for that period of time. So again, I might have been popcorn, I forget what it was, but I just, you know, went down that street and I sat there for 15-20 minutes, and another gentleman happened to, you know, same thing, it looked like he was waiting for his wife to get out of the watch store or some one of the little stores over there, and we ended up shooting the breeze for 10 or 15 minutes, you know, where you're from and blah blah blah, and you know, it was just a nice little conversation. And like I said, there's hardly anybody over there. I mean, if you just want to get away from people, even on a busy, busy day, that's the place to go, because unless you're getting your silhouette done there at that little, you know, booth, if you will, you really have no need to go down there because you can't get out the end and there's not an attraction down there. So aside from grabbing a seat and chilling out, there's really nothing else to really do down there other than just relax.
I agree with you. It's very nice back in there. My next one is to keep on that same theme is, and I just spoke about them in the news a little bit, is the gardens in China. Have you ever gone in and sat in the benches in there along the waterway around the little ponds, the koi ponds, and all the flowers and everything in there?
Oh, yeah, that's magnificent. I totally agree with you. There's a little footbridge there, and I think I told – yeah, I know I did. But a couple of trips ago when I was down there around Easter time, they actually hid a I think it was a Figment egg, one of those big eggs that was about the size of a soccer ball. And that's actually where they hid the one that was in China, was in that garden area. And again, it's the same thing, Doug. You're absolutely right. There's really nothing over that side over to the right, but it's there's some shade there, and the vegetation is beautiful, and they have fountains in there. I think there's some dragon fountains and little stream that runs through there, and oh, it's just beautiful. And again, nothing great, but you could definitely take 10 or 15 minutes and just kind of take it all in and explore, and that's a great place.
Yeah, me and Brent like to roam in there and just look around and then sit down. There's rarely ever anybody ever in there.
No, I agree.
It's like they go past that and go up where the restaurants are, the restaurant is, and where the, you know how they have that whole indoor, like that shopping, outdoor shopping area there?
Yeah, like almost like a bazaar or something like that.
Yeah, it has all kind of different stuff. And then they have the other counter service restaurant there.
Yep.
So everybody goes along that corridor way. It seems like nobody really, unless you're going into Reflections or whatever, nobody really pays much attention to the gardens that much, in my opinion.
No, you're
right.
And it's
something you're really missing. It's absolutely gorgeous.
People tend to hug to the left, you're right, where the quick serve restaurant is, and then in and over to the store and stuff like that. And again, unless the, what is that show, Reflections of China, unless
yeah,
that's on, which kind of plays in the middle of the garden, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Doug, nobody goes over to the right because there's, when I say there's nothing over there, aside from the garden, there's really nothing over there. But that's why I like to go over there for that, just that reason.
Exactly. So what's your, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no, I was just going to say, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, we both shared our stories when we first started going to Epcot, that that's the type of stuff that we would blow by and just try to get from attraction to attraction because, you know, there was nothing over there, or at least nothing on the map or that you could see that would draw you there. But to me, that's the beauty of Epcot, going back time and time again, is to go off those beaten paths and those little nooks and crannies and seeing what you can find.
Oh, it's gorgeous in there. What's your next one, partner?
Next one for me is going to, again, I'm staying in the Magic Kingdom for this one. It's going to be Tom Sawyer Island. And again, this is one that for many, many, many years I didn't go over to just because it takes work and planning and time out of your touring day to do that. But a couple of trips ago, I know I shared it on the show, I did go over there, and I would highly recommend this. Take the keel boats there, whatever they're called,
the
over
little raft
to the
boats.
Yeah, the raft boats, and go over there. And again, you can spend as much or as little time as you want over there. But again, nothing great over here, full of you know, different sayings and different artifacts from the Tom Sawyer book, and
it's
different,
a
you know,
tour.
Yeah, if you're familiar with that, it all kinds of makes it kind of makes sense. And yeah, it's a walking tour that you take yourself. Nobody's going to lead you around and say go here or go there, but there are many ways to get to the same place, and there's different options you can choose. Take this trail or this bridge or that bridge, and it's just kind of like, you know, exploring, you know, a little, it's like up on a big hill and there's a playground, and Aunt Polly's is there on the banks of the river. And actually you can get some very nice shots, pictures, I should say, of the Haunted Mansion and Liberty Square and all that from across the
you get
riverway.
A different vantage point.
Exactly. One that you can't get if you're right up on the Haunted Mansion. But again, not, you know, I'll be quite honest, it's not something I would do each and every trip. I mean, but, you know, every fifth trip or something like that, I would definitely do that, particularly on maybe day two of the Magic Kingdom. If, you know, I had done all the major attractions and stuff like that, I'd definitely check that out because, you know, it's worth it. And like I said, on a hot summer day in Florida, or any time in Florida when it's hot, which is pretty much 9-10 months a year, you know, the vegetation is nice. There's picnic tables out there. If you want to bring something out there, you can. It's nice and shady. There's usually a little bit of a breeze. And again, to get out of the massive crowds that are in the Magic Kingdom, you go over there and you almost have the place to yourself. So it's a way to get away from all the, you know, like I said, the sea of people, if you will, and kind of just chill out for a while.
Yeah, it's kind of secluded. It's good. Everybody should do it at least once. I mean, the rafts are awesome, especially when you don't get a crowded one.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that can be disappointing is make sure you have a water bottle or something with you in case Aunt Polly's is closed over there, because it could be get awful thirsty on a hot afternoon if you're over there and they don't have the refreshment open.
Yeah, last time I was there, it was closed, and I don't know if it's like closed, that it just don't operate it anymore, or maybe I was there at a non-peak time and they just don't open it. I don't know. But what I did remember, to your point, Doug, is that they did have vending machines that did sell water and I think candy bars or something of that sort on the there's like a front big deck, if you will, down Polly's before you hit the water, and they did have some water available there, so that was good, if you know, provided you had you know, some money with you or whatever. So I think they're trying to cover that when Aunt Polly's is closed, so that you don't get stuck over there without water.
Yeah, well, make sure you take some with you, or bring some change or whatever, small bills.
Exactly.
Because you're going to get thirsty.
Yes.
My next one is, I'm staying at Epcot. Being you're covering Magic Kingdom, I'm covering Epcot.
Okay.
Every single time we go, I think it's the second cutest building on property, and I did say cute, is the tea garden, the tea caddy place.
Oh, yeah.
We just love the way it's... The whole facade of the building is awesome to me. I have to go in it every single time we go in. We don't buy tea often. We have a few times. But that tea caddy, and then we go out the gardens that are right behind it, how they have the little gated walkways and all, and you can go to the back area where they have the concerts on Tudor
Right.
Lane and all. Like, that whole area is great to me. But me and Brenda love, we've even sat on the steps and hung out right behind the tea caddy there in the gardens. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah, many a time. I mean, that, what do they call that? The maze out there, I think, or
Yeah.
something like that. And yeah, there's benches that are around the perimeter. So if you want to, you know, listen to a set of the British Invasion, or, you know, like you said, even actually be in the more in the garden itself, you can. And I know that frequently Mary Poppins will come out and do a meet and greet right outside, almost across from the fish place there. But, you know, it all kinds of ties together. But, yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful place. And they even do this when it's not flowering garden. But I know they have a lot of the plants marked so you can see what they are, and it tells you their, you know, their technical name, if you will, as well as what they're called. I think there's some actual teas growing there, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Absolutely. There's a little bit of everything. It's just nice to explore that area, and I don't think people take the time to just stop and go to back there, sit down. Just looking at the buildings, the old buildings are so awesome. That interests me. I like looking the way the wood is cut, the style of the trim. You understand what I'm saying? In that period of time, the way they do it, so authentic.
Oh, yeah, the architecture is beautiful. And I think I read somewhere, it might have been on one of the Lou Mangiello's shows that he was doing, that actually represents many different decades, if you will, of English architecture. It's not all the same. I think, you know, some of it's Tudor, and I don't know what the different names are, but the buildings, if you know something about architectural stuff, you know, you can see the difference in how they're built or how they're cast, I guess. A lot of that's probably plastic and, you know, formed fiberglass or whatever. But you're right, Doug. It's beautiful. The brickwork and the masonry and just all that stuff is, if you look at it, it's pretty amazing.
Well, it's basically the buildings from the 1700s. They were all made with plaster and wood. And then in the 1800s, it started to become, you know, became stone and Georgian style, if you understand what I'm saying. They've changed. The 1700s were more wood and plaster. The 1800s, when they started doing all the brick buildings.
Right, and even across the street, the Rose and Crown and the, you know, the fish and chip place there. I mean, all that ties in architecturally as well. So it's all a seamless, you know, transition, if you will. And even over to the bathrooms and the phone booths over that way, it's all, it's pretty grand in that pavilion.
Yeah, because like the Tea Caddy Pavilion, the building, the little cottage, that represents the 1500s.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other buildings represent the 1600s, and then it went to the 1718. So they have all the different periods back there. And you, that's what I'm saying. The whole area there, go explore it. There are the things that you, if you're with your son or your daughter, go up and tell them and show them what the different buildings are. And you, it actually explains it while you're there.
Right, right.
And that's the stuff that you just walk by, you blow by, and you don't pay attention. And that's the stuff I love.
Yeah, no doubt. It's, you know, look up, look down, look around. That's
yep.
Absolutely appropriate, and it's especially in Epcot, but in that pavilion in particular, it's even more worth your time to do so.
Well, you know our motto, slow down, look around, and enjoy the view. I'm putting that on a T-shirt, Dennis.
Yeah, stop and smell the flowers, yep. Literally.
That's going to be our logo, the WDW Main Street logo. Slow down, look around, and enjoy the view.
There you go. Let's see. My turn or your turn?
My turn. No, go. We just talked about me with the tea. I mean,
oh,
over
that's
at the
right.
tea house
that's
all
right.
that time. Come on.
Okay, I'm going to go over to Disney's Hollywood Studios, over to the Streets of America. And this is, you know, kind of a broad-based one, but I'll say it anyways. Just roaming around in the back there where the Streets of America are, if you look in all the windows of the facades they have up there, the false facades, if you will, you know, there's a Chinese food restaurant, there are barber shops, there's all kinds of, I think there's a laundromat. But if you look in the windows, there's all kinds of trinkets and different Disney memorabilia. I know DVC has a window in there, and it's kind of old time, vacation planning and what have you. But I mean, again, if you have the time to do this and you've been there many, many times and you're looking to do something a little bit different, or instead of, going to see, I don't know, great movie ride for the 100th time, if you just take the time and walk down those streets up and down and look in the windows, you'll be amazed at what you'll see and things that may or may not tie into the area, or they may tie into the studios in general. It's just amazing all the different windows, just the windows alone, never mind the architecture and the different things. But they have the stairs and the light post and mailboxes, and everything is to scale. And it makes it so that it's like a real street, if you will. Everything, even like the subway opening, like in New York, they show the where you can get from the street down to the subway. Not that you can go down there, but it looks like you can. And I don't know, I just that's a place that the last couple of trips I've really come to enjoy and at least take in and try to understand what's back there and partake in it. Because for many years I would just,
Blow right by it.
oh yeah, going to Muppets, and maybe I'd cut through the street, or if I was going to the writer's stop, to Muppets or something like that, that would be the extent of my, looking around in that area. But I've started exploring that area, and I still have more to explore. I haven't seen everything, but I'm picking away at it each trip. So that'd be an area that I would say that folks should look at.
Well, I like both of them. Well, everybody knows the writer stops on both of our lists is Hideaway. We love going there. It's without saying that's one of our favorite go-to places, makes us feel at home. I've never had a trip there without going to the writer stop. But the back area, we always have gone back. We've gone every trip. That's a place where we've always taken pictures. I know it's corny, but I like doing the San Francisco, like going up the hill pic.
Right.
But we've always done like the steps. We've taken pictures. Now, the last couple times, they have the steps blocked off, and I don't know why they started doing that. But have you noticed that they have the ropes across the steps? Because we had my sister-in-law down about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and then we took her down this year, and I wanted to take the girls back because I have pictures of them both standing on the steps. And now this year, we couldn't get up on the steps because they had like the movie theater ropes blocking it off. And I was kind of a little disappointed that they don't let you go up the steps to each of those, the walk-ups. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if somebody got hurt or fell, or maybe, they just don't want people climbing up and down on the steps. I don't know, or hopefully it's just temporary, but
Yeah, it kind
I
of
don't know.
disappointed me. And I'll stay at the studios and just add a quick one. Is Gertie the dinosaur. Every time it feels like home seeing her. Am I wrong about that?
No, I must have 1,000 pictures of her and that piece of grass that's hanging out of her mouth. And yeah, I mean, that screams Hollywood Studios to me, and it's just always been there. And like I said, it's a familiar face, if you will.
Yeah, it's like every time we go, I have to take a pic. I have a million pictures of her. I have to have them. I get disappointed. The last few times I've gone there, it's been closed. You can't, there's not open for food.
Yeah, you're right. It generally is. The last time I was there, it did open while I was there. When I was walking down the Star Tours, it was closed up. I said, "Oh, that's pretty normal." And then on the way back, they had opened up the little door there, and they were selling whatever it is they sell in there. I forget, ice cream or whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, that whole waterway, it's a familiar place, and it's a beautiful place. But I think, at least if we are to believe the rumors, that all that's gonna, or most of that's gonna go away as part of the pending Star Wars land that's coming. So we shall see.
It'll be sad to see her, the ship, that whole little area there. I love it. It's like I remember from the first time we met, I couldn't believe how the ship is so awesome, isn't it?
Oh yeah. I mean, all that stuff. I can't think of the name of that ship right now, but you're right. All the little kiosks that are around that waterway, and then you have 50s Prime Time and all the restaurants that border the waterway on the other side, and then on your way to Indiana Jones, and you can not pull the rope and all that stuff, and then returning over to the where all the busts are over there on the other side. So yeah, and it's pretty tranquil in there. I mean, there's some seating in there too if you want to get off the beaten path. Again, everybody's screaming up the main boulevard there trying to get to the headliner attractions. But if you go over in that area and kind of meander around, you can, there's benches all around there, and I've sat in there, many a times, and just people watched and, just enjoyed the day, and it's a nice area.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, that whole back area there. I mean, even the '50s Primetime Cafe facade, the little lawyer's office, right? You know what I'm talking about? That whole area there is absolutely. I like to hang back there because we've done it since the very first year we've gone down.
Right, so it's like familiar grounds to you.
Yeah, I love Echo Lake back in there. I mean, who do? I mean, I don't know how you can. I mean, but so many people don't want to take time to
Right.
just. Relax there for a couple minutes. They're just happy to, they just want to roll by it.
Yeah, they just, and again, I've done this. I'm not above, I'm saying it. I mean, a lot of people just use it as a cut through to, get over to that side of the park, and they don't really pay any attention, and particularly if they don't have an ADR for 50s prime time, or the restaurants that are over in that area, they just basically use it as a cut through, and it's a shame because it is a beautiful area, and there's so much, it has so much to offer, and it's just one of those things. Slow down.
We'll each give one more quick one, Dan. What's
All
your
right.
next one?
Next one, I'm going to go over to Animal Kingdom. And again, I'll be general in this. I don't have a particular, well, maybe I got one particular pathway. But, anyways, just the Animal Kingdom in general lends itself to this topic in that,
Exactly. It's almost the whole park.
right. And that's what I was going to say. There are so many paths and little, I guess the way I've described this in the past is I would say, whatever way you're used to going when you're in the animal kingdom, go the exact opposite way. If you generally go through the main gates at Animal Kingdom and you always go to the right, go to the left, and vice versa. Or, if you're in Africa or Harambe Village or wherever you might be, and you'll be shocked at the different paths that you can take, and seating areas and shaded areas that you'll find and stumble upon. It's just beautiful and tranquil, and you can definitely, because Animal Kingdom can get a little tight on the main paths, but there are many, many other little paths and walkways and different ways you can get to the same place all over Animal Kingdom. So, as a general comment, I would say explore and see what you can find and stumble upon, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Oh, the Animal Kingdom is ridiculous. Like one of my favorite things I talk about all the time is the bridge that takes you over to Harambe Village.
Right.
I could just stand on that bridge and take pictures and look at the. It's so amazing to me, especially being in construction. Like, doesn't that bridge look like it's a couple hundred years old?
Oh,
It
yeah.
looks like decades old. I mean.
Right.
And it's so cool the way they did it with the concrete looking like it's chipping apart, the cracks in it. It's just an amazing. And then stop there and enjoy the view down the river.
Oh, right. You can, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of people just blow right over that bridge and they don't even know there's a river under there, to be honest.
Yeah, they're just trying to get to Kilimanjaro Safari. Let's get to the safari. We gotta get it. Everybody's in a hurry to get somewhere, and then they'll say there wasn't that much to do at the Animal Kingdom
Right,
because
right.
you didn't look for nothing.
Right, and you can also sign up for your Wildlife Explorer badge and your book and all that right at the, when you get over that bridge on the right. And again, if you weren't looking for that, or you were so hell-bent on getting to Kilimanjaro Safaris, you'd blow right by that and you wouldn't even know that program exists. So, absolutely, slow down and look around, particularly in that park. You're right, Doug.
Absolutely. There's every park has it, and we know it. Everything is beautiful. But like another one is the Oasis, where when you first come in, you know how they have the little tunnels there?
Oh, yeah, you turned me on to that. I mean, I used to just go to the right all the time. If you remember when we did a couple of my Animal Kingdom shows, and you told me to, I didn't even know there was that little bridge in the middle there. You said, yeah, there's a bridge in there. And I did what I just said. I took a different way. And, you know, within that oasis, there's a couple of different ways, three, I think, at least, that I'm aware of, that you can navigate in through there and, you know, go a different way, I guess.
And it's awesome in there. Like, I have pictures every trip, and this was about the things that remind us of every trip and home. And we, you know, these are the things that stay in my mind as I'm waiting to go back. And like the little tunnels there, I have pictures of me and my father in the tunnel.
Right, right.
Yeah, and every year I have to walk through that tunnel. It's cool. You can feel the moisture of the tunnel. It's not huge. It's not a big area.
Right.
But it's just neat that they built that there. It's a man-made tunnel, and then you have the little streams, the little rope bridges and all that there.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing with the park. The same thing with – and everybody knows I love to train for conservation station and all that stuff. But I just love looking at all the luggage that they have before you get on the train.
Yeah.
Sitting there to the right and the stuff,
yep.
And then you
yep.
see the luggage on top of the train. And then you take the other trails. Like after you get off Kilimanjaro Safari on the other side, there's trails that you can walk through. And if you look around, there's actually boxes and explorer stuff. And I watch so many people just walk by. They like Brenda gets mad, not mad at me, but I have to snoop at everything. Yeah, you know, I want to see it. You know, look
right.
to see what's on the back side of it, you know, stuff like that. And it's the same thing like I told you the last time we went out to conservation station and they gave me the tagger ball.
Oh, right, right. You were able to hold that or at least see the damage they did to it or whatever.
Yeah, but it's just things like that you need to explore. Like, stop on that bridge. Take a deep breath at the Animal Kingdom and look down the riverway and go into the oasis and stand in the tunnel for 5 minutes. I mean, if you do all these things there, there's certain stops that, you know, I have to look at every single trip. And the other one is there's a viewpoint that I like this more than I like the ride is. Have you ever gone to that viewpoint after you go past the Yak and Yeti all, which is the Yak and Yeti building is gorgeous too.
Right.
It's gorgeous in an ugly kind of way. But if you walk straight ahead where you got, if you could stand and look directly at Expedition Everest, tell me that isn't a beautiful view.
Oh, yeah. It's breathtaking. There's a few of those, and well, there's many of those, I should say, in that park. And, you know, the ones that vividly stick out to me, too, is, you know, you can view the Tree of Life, not
the
just
the backside.
Yeah, the little pathways that go up there. I mean, you can get fairly close to it or closer than you can get to it if you're on the main, you know, coming over the bridge, the main way. And, you know, there's just breathtaking photo ops on that whole backside. There's paths that go all the way around the Tree of Life, and you can just get some amazing photos.
Yeah, so, I mean, start making your special spots that remember. I mean, so many people I talked to, when they get back from their trip, did you look at that? Did you see that? And they're like, did you see the butterfly gardens? What butterfly garden at Epcot?
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
Like, that's the stuff you need to enjoy more. You'll feel like you're getting more out of your – more for your money instead of – all you see is people with their head in the park map.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what the only thing I'd say to that is, you know, if somebody's on their first or maybe second ever trip to Disney World, I almost give them a pass or a mulligan, if you will, because I understand. We've all been there and we've all done that.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to help, then. I'm trying to prevent
right.
that because that's what I did with Epcot. Me and my wife ran through there because we didn't pay attention to what was in half the buildings. We're trying to read. We're reading the land, living with the land. What's that?
Right, right.
We didn't explore anything. We were in such a hurry trying to get everything done that we didn't get half done as what we could have if we'd have just sucked it all in and just enjoyed where we were at that moment.
Right. That's why I really love where I am in my theme park touring now down there because, like I say this all the time, but, you know, I can almost care less if I get on an attraction, especially with FastPass Plus now. I know I'm going to see my, you know, two or three favorites in each park minimum. So even if I just did that and the rest was all just between eating in the restaurants and walking around and maybe enjoying some of the shows that we mentioned during the news segment, that that in itself is enough for me. I mean, I don't stress out over having to see every single attraction each day that I'm at a park. I mean, if it works out, don't get me wrong, I'll do it and I enjoy the attractions, but it's not high up on my list anymore of, what my day is at a theme park. To me, there's many other things that are more important and more enjoyable than, running from headliner to headliner to standing, 120-minute wait lines.
Honestly, and I agree with you, I'm in the same boat. On me, on a week's vacation, I need basically four fast passes now. One
Right.
for Test Track, one for Soarin', one for Mine Train, and then one for what would be the other one? Toy Story Mania.
Yeah, and it, right, and you could live with that.
Exactly, because all the other stuff that I love so much, I never have a problem getting on. Like,
Right.
I don't have a problem getting on the TTA. I love and the Carousel of Progress, and you can always get on Pirates, and
Great movie ride.
the Great Movie Ride, I have to do every single trip too, but there are rides that I don't need Fast Pass for.
Right.
And me and you've talked a million times. The train, I'm never waiting for the train.
Right.
There are the things that we love, and it's more simple for us. If we don't get on them, like the last two trips, I didn't do Tower of Terror.
Right.
I've walked into it. I'd like to go to the shop. I like the feeling of being around it, but I don't need to get on that no more.
Right. You've done it so many times. I mean, if you did it again, no big deal, but it's not a big deal if you don't do it either.
I enjoy looking at it more than I enjoy riding it anymore.
Right. Yeah, I think you said that about not Kilimanjaro, about Expedition Everest as well.
Yeah, Expedition Everest to me, it's the same thing. I love the whole building, but riding it isn't my favorite thing to do. I've done it enough times, and it ain't even that
Right.
I'm scared of it. It's just,
Right.
I don't think I there's more. I on the scale of things, if I listed, and we'll do this again because I'd like to do it this year too, because I do it every year, the list our list of our favorite rides,
Right.
it would probably be at the bottom of my list. I bet there's 50 things I'd rather do than go on Expedition Everest.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. There's so much to do at Walt Disney World. That's why I love going back there and, for all those other things. And it's always changing. And there's, your old favorites and there's new things and stuff you has been there forever and we just haven't discovered yet. So that's all good.
So that's going to be it then. Please, guys, don't forget to go to our website and check out our sponsors at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. We'd really appreciate it if you go to iTunes and rate us. And that's going to be it. You guys have a wonderful week. You got anything else to say then?
No, that's going to do it. Enjoyed talking some Disney with you this week, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys. We're hopping off the stool. Dennis paying the tab. Talk to you later.
Two in a row.
All right. That's how I roll, buddy. Bye-bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.